This is Grant from Naked Giants, and you're listening to WONY, Oneonta.
I'm Jennifer, a retired veteran. Money's tight, but I shop right by planning my meals ahead of time. When making a shopping list, I check for ingredients I already have, along with their expiration dates. I save money by buying only what I need and sticking to my list. Learn how you can shop right when money's tight. Visit snapedny.org. Save time, save money, eat healthy.
SNAP-Ed is funded by USDA Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. This institution is an equal opportunity provider.
Hi everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some events to look forward to. On Tuesday, September 23rd, join WONY for our vinyl swap event. This will be happening from 6 to 8 p.m. in the WONY station of Hunt Union. Also happening on Tuesday, head down to the Red Dragon Theater for a game of Trivia Tuesday, happening from 9 to 10 p.m. in Hunt Union. On Wednesday, join the Student Fashion Society for their general body meeting, happening in Perna Science 121 from 7 to 8 p.m. On Thursday, join the Gender and Sexuality Resource Center for Beyond Binaries, Identity and Sexuality with guest speaker Robin Oakes. This will be happening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in the Great Room in Lee Hall. On Friday, join the music department for Swing Dance to Live Music. This will be happening from 7 to 9:30 p.m. in the Hunt Union Ballroom. On Saturday, check out the community table at the Farmers Market. This will be happening from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Dietz Street. On Saturday, join the Nebula Society in learning about the different mythological stories surrounding the constellations in our stars. This will be happening in Perna 019A from 7 to 8 p.m. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Be sure to keep it locked.
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday, September 26th. We're rocking and rolling here in the basement of Hunt Union. DJ Nosh from Mark II, What's in Your Pocket? Special guest today, William Rivera Jr., running for the town supervisor of Oneonta. We're going to get this interview kicked off in a few minutes. Going to start with some De La Soul and a little fair warning. Before we do this, there is a slight clicking sound that the listeners may hear. They are doing some kind of jackhammering outside of the Hunt, outside somewhere, and it's we're getting a slight click in the studio here. It's way worse outside, so if you're anywhere near the Hunt Union, bring some ear protection or something like that. It's shaking the building, but we're going to shake the building here in a minute with a bunch of questions and stuff like that. Here's some De La Soul to start, and then we'll get to the interview, yo.
Number. Yes, it is. It's the magic number. Three. Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born three, they stubbed me, and that's the magic number.
What does it all mean?
Difficult preaching is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart. Something that stimulates the music in a measure. Measure in the music breaks in three parts. Casually see, but don't do like the soul. Cause seeing and doing are actions for monkeys. Doing hip-hop, hustle, no rock and roll. Unless your name's Brewster, cause Brewster's a punk. Parents let go cause it's magic in the air. Criticizing rap, shows you're out of order. Stop looking, listen to the phrase in Fred Astaire's. And don't get offended while Mace Dosido's your daughter. A dry camera roll system is now set. Fly around the store under Daisy production. It stands for the
inner sound, y'all, in your Corvette, that the action's not a trick, but show me the function.
Everybody wants to be a DJ, everybody wants to be an MC, but being speakers are the best, and you don't have to guess. De La Soul Posse consists of three, and that's the magic number. This here piece of the pie is not dessert, but the course that we dine. And three out of every darn time, the effect is, where the daisy grows in your mind. Showing true position, this here piece is kissing the part of the pie that's missing, where that negative number fills up your casualty. Maybe you can subtract it. You can call it your lucky partner. Maybe you can call it your adjective. But odd as it may be, without my one and two, where would there be my three mates passing me? And that's the magic number.
What does it all mean?
Focus is formed by flaunt of the soul. Souls before style gain praises by pounds. Common on speakers who honor the scroll. Scroll written daily creates a new sound. Listeners listen, cause this here is wisdom. Wisdom of a speaker, a dumb and a plug. Set aside a legal substance and feed them for now. Get them high off this dialect drug. Time is a factor, so it's time to count. Count not the negative actions of one. Speakers of soul say it's time to shout. Three forms the soul to a positive sum. Dance to this fix and flex every muscle. Space can be filled if you ride like my lumber. Advance to the tune, but don't do the hustle. Shake, rattle, roll to my magic number.
Now you may try to subtract it, but it just won't go away. Three times one.
What is it?
One, two.
That's a magic number.
Yo, what's up?
1, 2, 3. And say, children, what does it all mean?
Well, well, well.
1, 2, 3.
I would lie to
you. No more, no less.
That's a magic number.
No more, no less.
Good morning, everyone in Radio Land. It's a special privilege I have today to have William Rivera Jr. On here. He is running for town supervisor of Oneonta. Welcome, Will.
Welcome, Mark. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you for using my full government name out there. But just so all the callers know, and for everyone listening, I do like to go by Will Rivera.
Awesome. Great. So first of all, before we get into your background and stuff, this has always been a question for, I think, a lot of people out there. And what is the difference between the town of Oneonta and the city of Oneonta?
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing that a lot as well lately. So the town essentially circles the city of Oneonta. They're two separate governments ran by two separate boards or councils. So we have the town of Oneonta that is ran by a town supervisor along with a highway supervisor and the town board members. And then in the city of Oneonta, you have the mayor and your common council members. So essentially the town government and area circles the outskirts within the city, and the city's in the middle of the town. So essentially, how would I say? Everything like after Dairy Queen would be considered the town. All of, you know, Southside after, like, the Golden Guernsey would be considered a town. And then, you know, if you look at, I would say, like, after Brooks Barbecue, right? Like, I'm just hitting landmarks where people would think of, like,
that goes all the way to, like, Emmons, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just giving people, like, just some, like, aspects of, like, where, like, markers.
Yep. Cool. Awesome. And just so that I know, because I know somewhat about the town stuff, but not quite enough. So the board members, those are voted in?
Yeah. All those
boards voted in.
Yeah, they're all those are all elected positions.
Great. Cool. So with that going on, and how often is the supervisor or the elections for the supervisor?
They'll be every 2 years.
It's a 2-year term.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So it's much different than the mayoral one, which is 4.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Let's go into your background here. Give us, we're going to talk all about your candidacy and stuff, but it's be awesome for all of us out here in Radio Land to understand, who you are and your upbringing and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you want to know?
Oh, you want me to just kick it off? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have, you know, where were you born and raised? schooling background? What are your favorite things to it?
Yeah.
All the fun stuff.
I'll give you the TLDR of it all. First and foremost, shout out to all of my Red Dragons because I am a first gen SUNY Oneonta alumni here. And actually serve on the SUNY Oneonta University Council. I was appointed by Governor Hochul a few years ago, and so it's been definitely a privilege and an honor, and I appreciate all the time I get to spend with the students here and really lifting up this community. But geez, about me, I don't know if we have enough time for that, but...
Just a couple pointers.
Yeah. Currently, I have been a long-time Oneonta resident. I've been living here for 20 years. I was born and raised in New York City, straight out of the projects, which I'm very proud of. And now I left there and I went to Dryden, New York, because it was the first college and only college that accepted me that had dorms. And I needed to get out because I was homeless. I was living couch to couch, trying to finish high school. And so that was the first place that had a dorm. And so I went there. And the wild thing is I met my wife, straight into college. Met my wife at, 18, 19 years old? Honestly, I can't remember. And we've been together since. And we transferred to SUNY Oneonta because she's here locally. We both graduated from SUNY Oneonta. We live here. She's a teacher within the Oneonta City School District. I've been working in this city or in Oneonta for a long time. I was doing work for almost 16 years at Opportunities for Otsego.
Awesome.
Yeah, where I provided services to crime victims, victims of violence, victims of sexualized violence, domestic violence. Honestly, everything. I've seen it all, unfortunately, but I really found a passion in my calling. And I'm really connected to that work. Now I work at another nonprofit called My Own Image, where we're fighting technology facilitated violence and all the intersecting forms of harm and gender violence. I'm no stranger to hard work, no stranger to public service. Being a public service and being a public servant is my heart, is my passion, because when you come from the struggle, you know why you need a struggle, and you know what people are facing out there. And if we don't fight for others and making sure they're safe and have the resource that they need, who's going to do it?
That is 100% true. So interesting. The nonprofit you're working for now, right? Is this a bigger nonprofit, or is it just based in this area?
Yeah, so we're a national nonprofit.
Okay.
We're kind of a fresh team. It's just 2 years old now, and it started out from my friend's experience of being harmed with her image, images being leaked when she was running for office, and so now we combat that.
And what is the name of this again? Just so that...
My Own Image.
And
yeah.
is there a .com for this?
Or? Yeah, it's myownimage.org. You can find us on socials.
Right.
Yeah. We're on Instagram, LinkedIn.
Awesome. Fantastic. So, okay. At what point over the past, year or two did you say, hey, I'm going to run. I want to try to do this?
So it all really started out from giving people a choice, right? With everything that's going on in this world, I think people need to understand the impact of local government, right? Local government controls and oversees so much more that affects our day-to-day activities. It controls, our schools, our taxes, our roads, our daily uses within our communities and our community resources. And it started by giving us a choice, making sure that people had a choice on the ballot, making sure people had a choice in their candidates and a choice on what platforms they want to support. But now, at my first meeting, at the board meeting, because the reason why I couldn't get engaged in local politics, and let me even go back first. I'm no stranger to politics, right? I'm no stranger to politics. I have passed several laws throughout in New York, throughout our country. I work with legislators and lawmakers every day. But obviously, I'm new into the political candidate space, right?
Yep.
And so I couldn't engage in local politics for so long just because if I was working here locally, right?
Gotcha.
And so, but again, worked with all of our county representatives, our county programs, several boards throughout the state for so long. Anyway, I go to my first board meeting and I hear a presentation about an AI data center wanting to be built literally in a residential area. And
that's around here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right within the town of Oneonta spaces.
Yep.
I mean, literally neighboring some people's borders of their, like, you know, three generational home or agricultural farm they have. And people don't understand the impact these centers have. And, you know, we were blindly going to potentially pass a vote on this, right? Again, I don't know how people were going to vote or positioned, but it was more about education and awareness. It's like, can we at least just do a Google search on how harmful it is? Because I do, right? That's my space. I know the harm for it. And so that's what kind of, like, you know, pushed me to go at this even more harder, right? I was going to give it 100%. Now I'm going to give it, you know, 1,000%. Because what's happening out there, not just in our community, but communities all across New York, all across the country, is you have, you know, developers and corporations and, you know, your local political insiders who are using local governments for their benefit on the backs of the taxpayers, on the backs of the working class. And, you know, I hope there's others out there, our youth that are getting organized to understand is gone are the days that's going to be allowed, that we are going to get organized and we are going to get into roles within local governments, within our PTOs, within our boards, within our county clerks, our coroner, our local judges. All of these positions are so important, and making sure that we are putting people first. We are putting public service first, because as an elected official, you work for the people. You are a public servant for the people. And I hope that I can, and I can also encourage others to put public service back into politics.
100% agreed. So I'm going to ask a couple questions here based on all this. First of all, just to so that I don't forget about it. You were saying, a lot of times the local government does things on the back of the taxpayers without actually, I guess, asking the taxpayers about things or checking things out. I know the city of Oneonta, and it actually affects a bunch of the towns as well, is in the middle of this as well with the airport. Have you heard about any of this stuff, the airport expansion?
I have heard, some. I'm not, again, not well versed on it, but I have heard some stuff.
Okay, it's an interesting thing. At some point, check it out. I actually went to a county meeting on this because it has to do with the county as well, and them trying to do some airport expansion. Once again, it's for those out there in radio land. If you're in the Oneonta area, you might want to check out this too. It's an interesting. It's an interesting political and business decision that's been going on right now, but it will affect the town and the county and a bunch of other properties, because that airport is right around Milford as well, and it borders a bunch of different people's personal properties and so forth. So that's expansion of the airport. But they were trying to kind of sneak in some stuff without I don't want to say sneak in. They were just doing stuff and not letting a lot of people know, and then trying to take land by eminent domain. So it's kind of an interesting thing. But here's another thing with all you said, you know, hey, we're going to take this back. So from what I've noticed over the past 30 years and so, just kind of going downhill, is the role of the citizen in terms of their contribution in to the political world of trying to use the candidates that they vote for to make change. And I'm going to say this in the lines of, I find a lot of people just being complacent, right? So they're just kind of sitting there going, okay, we voted for this person. It's this person's job to do whatever. I don't personally necessarily see it that way. I see as they're the liaison, you know, and
but we still need to do the work as the citizens and to make this happen, because you vote for somebody, that person should just not be making all of the decisions, right? They need to talk to constituents and so forth. If elected, right? How are you going to get the people involved to help make decisions that are going to be better for the town, that aren't just going to be the decisions that you think are the good decisions? And this is a really important question, I think, for all politicians, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I think what we need to do is make people feel welcomed, make them feel safe within the local town governments, make them feel that they can come to the meetings, that they're going to be heard, they're going to be respected, and their feedback is going to be listened to. And so I think we have to create a space and have people understand that it's okay to have healthy discourse, but it's not okay to be hateful or any bigotry or any, you know, pushing forward any, you know, acts of violence, right? That's not okay. But as a community, once we have these honest and conversations, we're going to see some great things happen, right? And so I think we have to create that space, you know, within our communities, not just here in Oneonta, but again, all over. And it's also about transparency, right? It's about making it so that people can see step by step where things are going. They can easily go to a website and say, oh, someone put an application on something. Oh, where are they at, right? Like, there's all these systems that other places are doing that can easily be implemented. It is 2025. There is no reason why certain things shouldn't be easily found on websites or accessible, or meetings are on streams or on, you know, at least on YouTube or Zoom. I mean, honestly, just throw up your phone and go on live, right? And so... Yeah. So once we make these ways for people to still get engaged, like, not everyone can make a 7 o'clock meeting. I get it, right? Yep. You know, not everyone can make the 10 o'clock county meetings because you're working. I understand that. And so if we want people to engage within our boundaries, within what we're allowed to do, let's make it easier for them to get engaged, regardless of the discourse or what people's feedback is or positions are, right? That's the beauty of democracy. But let's make it so that people can actually understand. Let's educate them on the process. Let's keep them abreast on the processes. And let's not try to hide it, right? Because when you try to hide it, then this is what happens. Let's have conversations from the beginning and say, hey, I can tell you right now, 100, I would stand on this, is if something's up or, you know, there's meetings or agendas, I'm going to throw it on socials. I'm going to say, hey, everyone, there's a public hearing meeting. I'm not going to, you know, again, if I'm allowed to, you know, have to, you know, run that by the lawyers and everything like that. But I'm pretty sure it is allowed.
Yeah.
You know, as
transparency is like really important.
It's 2025. All the information's out there. Like, come on, just put it out there. Get people to understand. Get them engaged and just make them aware.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So when I was following this airport thing, there were meetings there. They were just live streaming from Facebook, and that's it. And a couple times Facebook had that live stream had crashed, so there was no recordings. And then one time there was a recording, and they put it up. And then also the next day, when people were kind of giving, like, flack about some certain things, it was gone. So I went to the meeting in Cooperstown, and one of the things I went up there and said was, like, okay, you don't have a backup for your stream? You're a government that is affecting the entire county, and you're making decisions that are going to affect me, mm-hmm. and I can't see this thing because you can't figure out how to live stream something because you're using just the Facebook live stream. It seemed crazy to me. And all of a sudden, like, you know, a couple days later, they're like, oh, we have this now. Like, it was like, so with that being said, it for those out there, like, once again, listening, if you voice your opinion, a lot of times people will listen if you go to the meetings and so forth. The one question I have for you or something, a request, if you are elected, is that I find, although it's been better recently, some people don't want to go to meetings sometimes because they go and then they're like, you have 2 minutes. You can't ask any questions. Then you need to stop. Which I understand because of the time limitations of particular things. But how are we going to get it so that people can feel they can talk a little longer? Can we, like, you know, I would love to see more town halls and more open discussions and forums and stuff like that where we can actually talk. Because a lot of times when I, like I said, I go to meetings and they're like, you have 2 minutes, talk. And then they're like, you're done. And then they don't say anything. And then, you know. So what do you, I mean, what's your take on how to get that a little bit more citizen-friendly?
Yeah, absolutely. Really quick, though, regarding your county streaming issue, you know what the wild thing is? They got a whole IT department.
Well, I know. The IT person was like, I can't get the thing to work. It was like, we're all sitting there. They had to stop. They didn't even start the meeting on time because they were waiting for the live stream while the IT guy was talking. He's like, Facebook isn't loading. I was like, what are you... Like, are you joking?
It's
me?
Wild. It's wild out there.
There's like 10 other things you can do. Just record the thing, right?
So we
have it. And by the way, this is being recorded right now, and everybody can go back to wonyfm.com. There's a wonyfm.org, which you can stream from every day. You click on the whale, you can listen to this anywhere in the world. But if you go to wonyfm.com, go to recordings, and then go to the particular day, and it's 1 hour past it. So if you go to today's day and look at the 9:05, it'll probably say radio link. You can go back and listen to this entire thing. But see how easy that was?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can go listen to the recording of our conversation.
Save it. Yeah. Shout out Wony 90.9 FM. Yeah. Follow them on socials. Shout out Will Rivera for Oneana on Instagram, and Will Rivera for Oneana Town Supervisor on Facebook. Let's blow up that stream.
That's right. So how are you going to make this more user-friendly for us?
So user-friendly, all right. Like, first and foremost, I think what we have to do, again, make it welcoming, make people feel welcome and safe. Obviously, it's education, right? People should understand, hey, you know, this is what we have to do within our constraints regarding, you know, whatever ordinances or bylaws or codes that you have to follow within the meetings.
Yes.
But, you know, if you want to have further conversations, feel free to, if people... should at least have meeting times available. At least, hey, here's my email. Feel free to send me an email. I could put it into record. There's other ways to have conversations. And honestly, public officials should be out there speaking to their constituents all the time. I mean, if you're a public official and you're not being seen or you're not even known, what are you doing? Right. And I'm sorry. I'm going to stand on that.
No,
you're right. And
100%.
And listen, and I come from spaces where I see public officials doing the work. Right. And I don't even know the last time a public official has held a town hall. I know people do hold ward meetings, things like that. But, you know, where are town halls? Where are our opportunities as voters, as constituents, to address these issues with the individuals that, one, are getting paid, are using taxpayer money for their own health benefits, and it's their job to serve us? We need to hold them accountable. And so even if it's a coffee chat, a lunch chat, right? I have had about like 7 coffee chats since February, I'm out there with the community. Like, it's easy to do it. Yeah, you know what I mean? You just got to put the work into it.
You heard something at Foothills. Was that yesterday?
Yeah. I had a shout out Foothills.
How was that?
It was great. It was beautiful. It was so the setup was amazing. The energy, I felt the energy, felt the love. It was great. It was great. We're having another one on October 16th, so please attend if you can.
Awesome. I think part of the issue you were saying, you know, people not showing up and stuff. I will say that there are officials in my area of Oneana that I've never heard from through mail, through social media, like literally never have talked to or heard anything from. So I don't even know what's going on half the time unless I go look it up. And I always say this, I'm the citizen. I shouldn't be the one having to go and look this stuff up. I should be getting things from the elected officials saying, hey, by the way, there's this meeting on this time. Hey, by the way, there's this really big thing going on and we're going to vote on it. And maybe you want, you know, you
absolutely
voice your
clock
opinion
it.
On it, as opposed to it just happening. And then we go, what happened? I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And you just have no idea, you know. I do understand that, you know, we elect officials to kind of, okay, I believe in these kinds of things, and this official is going to kind of has the general concept of what I want, and that's why I voted for the person, and we have some faith and trust in that person to vote on maybe mundane things that I don't want to have to think about. Oh, the garbage is going to be picked up on Wednesday. And I'm not saying that.
Yeah, it's a prank. Garbage, your fall leaf schedule. You know what I mean?
Like exactly. You don't need to tell me, like, I don't need to vote on that because that's the job. But there are other bigger important things, like how are we spending the money, school budgets,
our taxes.
Jail, our tax dollars. Like, where's that going to and so forth, you know? So, okay, with all that being said, I am going to ask you five things. I want you to tell me five things, if you can, about your, I would say, platform. And I hate putting it that way because for my personal opinion is this. The elected official is supposed to represent the people, right? So when people say, oh, this is my platform, it's not, I don't see it as like, okay, that person, that's their job to get the platform done. It's the job that they're going to work with those things and with the people to see if those things in the platform are good for the town. Does that make sense? As opposed to like, here's whatever. But it is nice to know what people believe in and what people want to work for, what you think in terms of platform and or, you could also do this, what is desperately needed or needed in the town that you want to work on with its constituents to make better.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, all right, so top five, let's see.
Yeah, all right.
One, I if people can't feel it or understand it yet, you know, I'm for the people. You know, when I say from the people, you know what I mean? I'm on the front lines with the people always. I'm dedicated to service and being a public servant. And so people could 100% trust that I'm always going to hold myself to ethical standards. I have nothing to gain. I have no business, no money. I work for a nonprofit. My wife's a teacher. You know,
I'm an educator. Right.
You know what I mean? And so I have nothing to gain, but, you know, just a lot to give back. You know, my biggest thing, too, is making sure that we protect our community from this data center. I mean, we have a proposal. I mean, you know, these proposals came last time. Obviously, there's no current application. But, like, what happens when it comes in next, right? These are harmful issues that can happen. And also, this is tied to the constitutional pipeline, right? There's threats of that looming, right? There's currently that could be an issue. And then we can have another pipeline right down here on I-88. And so developers see that, and they know it. And so they're trying to develop land now before these things become more pricey once they're established. And so I'm going to protect our water, our green space, our resources. I'm going to protect our communities.
That's what I was going to ask you. So why is the data center bad?
Oh, gosh.
Absolutely.
If you just do quick research, I mean, they drain water resources in communities. They tax the energy grids, and that the higher usage of the energy actually is going back to taxpayers. So they're paying for the higher energy, not the developer or the corporation. They have literally drained water usages in communities where people literally can't use the water. Sediment or sludge comes out of it. You know, it creates pollution, drainage issues. I mean, there's so much data regarding this issue on it, and pending legislation as well to address this.
Sure.
On it. And so, again, that's about awareness and education.
Yep.
As well. And so we did, you know, the community showed up at one of the last two board meetings, and they were outraged, and they spoke up about it. Again, they did their homework, and they did their research and said, no, this isn't going to happen. This is what they do and all these kinds of things. So that was great. But again, that was just at the minimum of organizing that was done. Right. And yeah. I do organizing and advocacy for a living. And like, if I was able to do it with all my full resources, full my backing, it could have been huge, right? And bigger and more outreach and more education at that meeting. And so, like, that's what happens when you just have education and awareness. But if we had did that from the beginning, we wouldn't have had that, right? So I'm going to protect our water, our green, our resources, our communities. I'm going to look at the short-term rental housing, right? Okay, short-term rental housing, when I talk to, because I'm out there knocking on doors, speaking with people, one in three are saying that I didn't choose to live here and be surrounded by short-term rentals, okay? And I agree. Now, I want to say that I'm not against short-term rentals by any means. Let's put that on record.
So what's a short-term rental?
Short-term rental is anything 90 days or less. Okay. 90 days or less, right? Yep. And so, primarily Airbnbs for our tourism. Yeah, our tourism. Again, I'm not knocking it. You know, they do very well for us. Great resource for the community and economic driver. But there's a influx of it. And we need to have smart frameworks on engaging with that issue, right? And so, you know, I believe we need to have a minimum of, frameworks to address this issue. And I know there's, you know, currently being addressed within the town board. They developed the committee. But, you know, as with everything that's done within town in a lot of Oregon county governments and things like that, is like, I want to know what's being discussed at these, because it's an ad hoc committee, right? Who's on that committee? What are the minutes? Where's the data? You know, all these kind of other things. Are there experts on there? Do people with lived experiences are on these committees? Are people who have been harmed by not being able to get an house on that committee or currently unhoused on that committee? So again, you need to have an all around, you know, look when you really looking at data and transparency on these issues. And I also, again, transparency. You know, engaging local government, being out in the communities, supporting the communities, not hiding. And I know we're all working, you know, with other jobs as well and have families and, you know, things like that. But we could still meet at some point. We could still get out there, you know, engage with the community, have transparency, have honest conversations. And I also want to look at this as an opportunity to create unity. Right. Like there's so much divisiveness out there right now. And this position and many of these positions in our local county governments is a community position. Right. These are community issues. I look at it as a role for the community. And with that, it's about unifying the community, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad. We are here to listen to it all, but yep. also to unify us because we all want the same thing. We want housing, so do I. We want childcare, so do I. We want jobs, so do I. We want to protect our neighborhoods so that our children can come here. My daughter can live here, so do I. We are all on the same team. They're on my team, and I'm on theirs.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. You know, it's funny, speaking about housing and all this, and what you were saying is having people on boards and or committees that know understand the situations. When I went to one of the, I guess it was like a city hall, like town hall, city hall kind of open discussion on the RSS project, it was packed. It was in Anderson Theater, Hartwick, and this is when they were going to put it. Originally decided that we're trying to put it down on Market Street. I went up in front of everybody and I asked, I said, okay, how many of you here at one point were an addict? And nobody raised their hand. You had an entire room of people who have never been, you know, some kind of, addicted to a substance or something like that. Okay, how many people are in low-income housing? Once again, nobody's raising their hand. So you have a room full of people trying to make decisions for people that they know not quite anything about, which is always a scary thing to me because it's always like, oh, you should do this because this seems like the right thing to do. But I've never experienced that, so I'm just saying it from an outside perspective. And that's a very scary thing. We need to get more people involved, especially on the committee and in government that have been through these particular things. So that they understand what it's like to be in those positions. You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
No, I completely agree. And it's also like, you know, as I draft my policies and legislations or do work on new initiatives, I always say, again, I'm going to just focus on this, is like, okay, but I'm leading with these experiences. I want to uplift and bring those voices into the space, right? So if I'm talking about survivor justice work, survivors need to be at the table. It's not about me. It's about their voices, right? Again, same thing. If I'm talking about any of these issues, those who are unhoused or those who are affected by substance use, let's get them at the table, because I'm not going to sit here and tell them what they can or can't do. I want to listen with them. I want to create it with them. And I think that's the problem a lot of places do. They think they know better than others when we're trying to talk about things. I don't. I don't know what's better for a survivor. I don't know what's better for someone that's unhoused. I know what resources we have. I know what resources are available. And it's their choice on what they want to do or how to navigate that space. I am not here to tell anyone how they should feel, what they need to do, or what is best for them. It's their choice. This is a free country. People are allowed to do what they want to do. But our job as a community, my job as someone that supports others, is to make sure we have resources for everyone so that we can live a thriving life. And really, just really quickly, I was born and raised in Section 8 housing. I depended on food stamps. I depended on Medicaid. I depended on free school lunches. I depended on the free breakfasts.
Lifesaver.
Exactly. Literally. If we didn't have those, I don't know where we would have been. My mother was a single Latina mother raising, three kids, right? And through that struggle is what creates my movements as I move forward, right? I remember my community still struggling, right? Not just, my community back at home, but here still, people are still struggling. Many people here are one paycheck away from a financial crisis, right? Let's say it out loud, right?
Like, oh, I am.
Right? One financial crisis, one car issue.
Yeah.
You need new tires. Something happens with your car, one paycheck away. And like that's what we need to understand, is that it can happen to any of us at any time, being hit by hard times, and we need to lead with empathy and understanding and care, and not create divisiveness, not put our beliefs onto others. And that's who I am and who I stand for as a person and how I will lead.
Nice. Yeah. Speaking of that, the NYSIG bill.
Oh, bro.
Man, I'm like, oh,
bro. Don't
I was
even
like looking
get me started.
At it going. Normally my NYSIG bill is like $70 in the summer, and it was like $220. I was like, why is my bill $220? What is going on here? So, like, it's just an interesting
thing. Well, and they want to think of another 17% tax increase on their rates.
That's like
right? Crazy.
This, there's something the state needs to do about this. But so I'm going to ask you a question you're not going to want to answer. But that's the most important part, right? Mm-hmm. Like, transparency and so forth. Who are you running against?
You know I don't give any free press, man. Come on.
Is that free press?
Yeah, that's so free press. There is another person on the ballot.
There is another person on the ballot. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to do something.
Yeah.
You can say yes or no. This other person who's on the ballot, right, which I can easily just look up on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, but I could just be saying that person's mm-hmm. name right now. I actually don't know who it is. So... if there's one thing that this person is good at, what is it? If you want to find the good in everybody, right?
Honestly, I don't. There's no hate or badness in my bone, right? By
what
any
do you
means,
think there's
and,
a reason.
And honestly, I don't really know much about my opponent, right? I don't know, and so I really can't say. Even if I wanted to say bad, I couldn't. But that's not me, and I never would do that.
Sure.
But the good things is I do see a lot of great things that he has done in the community, certain events that he has held, doing certain work in his role to support others that are not able to fulfill their obligations within their town board thing. So again, there is good, right? There's the, I'm not going to sit there and I wouldn't say bad, but yeah, I mean, all those qualities that I just shared are great things that I see.
Great. I always like to ask that question because I think it's super important for me. You know, it was funny when I was running, I ran for county, and this was county government a long time ago, 4 years ago, and I lost by 2 votes as an independent. But people would always say, okay, why should we vote you over this other person? And I said, I'm not running against this other person. I'm running as me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I always kind of looked at it. Beforehand, I had no necessarily, people would go, well, why should we vote for you? Like, that's always the question, right? Like, and I don't think it's an important thing. Why should I vote for you over somebody else? That's not the answer, because then you're forced into a decision. And if you look at the last presidential election, I believe, like, no vote won,
mm-hmm.
right? So more people didn't vote mm-hmm. for whoever it was than mm-hmm. who did. So why should we vote for you? You tell me why. I live in the town of Oneonta, right? And I say, why should I be voting for you for this? What's the main thing? Why should I do this?
Because I'm giving you a choice to decide on who you want to vote for versus me telling you to vote for me. But if I did have to give you some options, is I'm going to tell you right now, I will fight for us. I will be in Albany. I will be at county meetings. I will organize. I will advocate to ensure that we are protected, to ensure that we have equitable access to resources, to ensure that each and every one of our voices are heard. I will be out there with the people always. I will be at community events. I'll be supporting others. I will use all the qualities that I have gained through my professional experiences to uplift and bring in more resources, to bring in more attention here to the community. And so I continue to push. I don't do anything. I probably can't curse on here, but no. I don't do anything. You could just bleep that. No, okay. I don't do anything like calm. I mean, I don't know if you can see it or people can hear it.
I can totally tell.
I'm very energetic. I do like 8,000 things.
Same.
And like, I'm a freaking spicy neurodivergent, and that is my superpower. And I could do a lot of the things. I love it though, right? And so, I'm gonna work hard, right? And I'm gonna bring new energy. And when I say this, I truly, truly mean it. It's like, this isn't about me.
I believe you.
It's about us, right? And I want people to feel that and understand and give me the opportunity to bring that. And when I say town board energy, it's because I want the energy for you. Like, I want you to come here with me. I want you to get in this with me. And then I want you to run. Regardless of what positions you are or whatever, sure. Organize.
Yeah, people need to run.
Hold us accountable, right? Hold me accountable.
100%.
Right? Hold me accountable and run. And I'll teach you along the way how to do it.
If there's one thing, you know, if you get elected, right? Let's say you get elected. 2 years, right? Is this a full-time job? It's always a good question with this thing, too. Like, I'm interested. Because, like, the mayor of Oneonta is a very part-time job. And it's very hard for some people to have these jobs. I'm just going to say this. They make it very hard to be an elected official unless you have a lot of money or you're retired, because the pay is really bad, and then it's a they're always yelling at you, right? And you can't live off the salary most of the time for something like the mayor of Oneonta, right? Or even a council member or a town or a county board member. It's like, so they kind of make it so a certain demographic are the main part. And then they're like, oh, the meetings are at 10 o'clock in the morning because that's when people who have money or are retired can go to the meetings, not the people who need to go to, not necessarily that those people don't need to go to them, but you know what I'm saying? So what I'm not going to ask what the pay is and stuff, but is this like if you did this, is that your only job or do you have to continue working your other job?
Bro, I'm poor. I mean, like, I'm gonna be honest, like I have big money, right? I don't know either, right? And it's definitely not much. I want to say It's probably, I think it was like maybe like 15 to 20,000.
Okay,
like,
yeah,
I
don't know, so it's
like something like that, right?
Yeah,
right?
It's, you know, not a,
and like we have to be honest, these systems are set up that way, right?
Yeah,
and many of our current board members all have full time jobs, right?
Yep.
Or businesses
100%.
As well, and they're getting the job done, and so will I, right? And I will be focused on it. And listen, this is 2025. I can do a lot of things at once from a lot of places, and we need to understand that. We need to be accepting of that, or we need to look at the systems, right? You know, we need to really look at these systems so that all people have opportunities to be engaged in local politics, right? And make it equitable or compensate them equitably as well. But you're not wrong in all that stuff you said regarding the meeting times and the frameworks beyond when or how they can run or be in these roles.
Yeah, I just find it interesting because I have a lot of friends who are on boards and you know, in local government and stuff like that, and I see how much they work. And, you know, it's like half the time it's a thankless job, you know, because people are basically, you're just getting, not many people are calling you and being like, you're amazing. They're calling you to complain about stuff. And this is, you're constantly getting a feedback. Not to say that it's not rewarding, because it 100% is. And there are people who are like, you're doing a great job. But it's one of these things where it's like kind of like you're always dealing with issues, you know, and most of these things don't pay enough so that you have to work full time and then do this. So when it comes out to like, oh, you know, what am I getting paid for this? Well, it winds up being like 40 cents an hour with the time I put in, depending on whatever, you know. So a lot of the local politicians just out there in radio land, you know, they're doing this because they want to do it. It's not a money making experience. It's more of a community experience and trying to make it better for everybody. So if you win, right? And the election is
October 25th. Early voting starts.
Right.
Polling places here are going to be for early voting at the Skate House in Neowa Park, and then at the Meadows in the Cooperstown area. Right. And then November 4th is election day.
That's right. You have a 2-year term, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing you can get done in those 2 years, if you could only do, if there's one big thing that you want to make sure you get done, what would that be?
I want to ban AI data centers.
Great. There you go. You heard it straight from the horse's mouth. Ban the data centers. Cool. Okay. Before I put on a song here, we got a couple minutes. I'm going to get out of the political spectrum and ask you a few individual questions. Favorite pizza place in you like pizza?
Oh yeah, come on.
15. Some people you never know, man. You know, it's like people saying I hate the Beatles or something like that. It's crazy. Within 20 minutes of here or in the town or in the city, favorite pizza places.
Bro, I went to Sal's last week. That slapped. Right, it was good.
Sal's
was good. It
Sal's
was good.
Back, yo.
But I mean, you know, diehard Tino's, right? You know, Tino's and Sal's. So definitely those would be my top two. But Sal's, the slices that we had last week were top notch.
Yeah, and speaking of the town, I know Dante's is in the town,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's over the line there. Mm-hmm. And Pizza Land, that's still rolling.
Yeah, Pizza Land. I mean, you got Undercover Eggplant, that big pizza.
Yeah. All those, you know, it's interesting. Yeah.
We don't go out to eat much, honestly. But
sure. I always like to ask that question.
No, it's good.
I ask that with all my students.
I mean, mine and all in New York State. You know, Ruby Rosa down in Soho.
Yeah, Soho.
Lint Industry down in Brooklyn.
Cool.
Like, those are my top two.
Where in the city did you hail from? What borough?
Shout out the LES, Lower East Side, Manhattan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So my daughter lives on Avenue B and West East or East 6th.
Yeah, yeah,
so
nice, yeah.
So, yeah, she's down right around the Orpheum. She works in Soho, lives down in the East Village, and it's super awesome. I try to go down like once a month and go see her. Okay. Top three favorite musicians or acts these days. You had sent me some stuff about this, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, awesome. But go ahead, let it fly, yo.
I mean, listen, I am a proud Latino. Bad Bunny is number one right now.
Yeah.
Like, shout out Bad Bunny, shout out Puerto Rico. I'm a huge Jay-Z fan, always have been, always will be.
Awesome.
And right now on rotation, like, is that Cardi B album is fire. Like,
awesome.
Am I the Drama? Go stream it.
Cool. Yeah, it's funny. The Bunny there, I don't know much about Bad Bunny, which one of many people recently who have either said something or it has come through my social media feed. Did Bad Bunny just do a residency somewhere?
Yeah. So I was in Puerto Rico for 2 weeks. In August. We tried to get our tickets, but we couldn't get them. He did a residency there. He just did a live stream on Amazon last Saturday. It was his last show.
That's why I saw something. I try to keep up with as many current events as possible, especially in the music, because that's what I do for a living. Interesting. So if there's one Bad Bunny song, album, or something like that, so I don't own any, and I strictly, when I'm up here at the studio, I buy vinyl, and I only play vinyl up here. So I have thousands of albums at my house, and I bring them up, and I play. I refuse to use digital music. That's just personally for me, because the vinyl pays the artist better, you know, if you buy the vinyl, as opposed to streaming it, which doesn't pay the artist very well. I have nothing against it. I listen to digital stuff in my car, but when I'm on here. So if I'm going to buy a Bad Bunny album on vinyl, I'm going to spend my hard-working money. Which one am I buying?
The new vinyl just dropped, actually, from Bad Bunny's DP Tomas Photos album. That's great. His most recent album. It's a freaking, like, classic.
I'm going to go on today, and I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
And I'll spin it next week when it comes.
Yeah, man, I've been listening to him. I mean, I love reggaeton, right? Like, it's that Spanish reggae, pretty much, or Spanish hip-hop
sure.
Trap. I've been listening my whole life on it. But Bad Bunny, I've been, you know, listening from the start, right? You know, literally no one even knew about him. And now he's, like, the number one artist in the whole world, you know, changing things and moving mountains for our country.
It's amazing. Reggaeton. Yeah. Yeah, so, like, I learned a lot. Hey, Will, I really want to thank you for coming on today. I think we got a good cross-perspective of you as a person, what you want to do for the town. Can you just tell me, before I put a song on here, leading up to the election, what events will you be at? Or what events can we hear from you? And then can you just tell us what any .coms or social links you have and how to find those?
Yeah, so this Saturday, the Otsego County Democratic Committee has our annual dinner here with a freaking amazing speaker, Senator Malcolm Kenyatta.
Delgado's going to be here.
And Lieutenant Delgado's going to be here. And I'm sure we're going to have some other surprise guests coming through as well.
And that's Hunt Union?
Yep, Hunt Union. Yep, Saturday.
What time?
I want to say 6.
Okay, and is it cost money to get in?
Yep, it is. Yeah. It's a pay ticket because it's a fundraiser. Students are actually free, so if students on this call want to go.
That's amazing.
Yeah, get a hold of me.
Great.
Get you connected. I actually got some students in the pipeline. Shout out to the SUNY College Dems here as well. They supported my events last night and has supported many events. They're an amazing group. Go follow their club. Join them. I have a town hall October 16th at 6 o'clock at Foothills. This is free and open to the public. I'm going to be at your front doors, you know, handing you flyers, giving you an opportunity to ask questions about me, allowing me to earn your vote and know about me. Where else am I going to be at? I'm all over the place. Otsego County Democratic Club is having a brunch, a meet and greet brunch at Wise Guy Sammy's. I want to say October 11th.
Okay.
It's a Saturday at like 11 or 10. So we have lots of things going on. But yeah, I'm all over. If anyone listening wants me to come to their, I've been in people's houses. I've been at the porches, at their driveways. You know, people talking to me at the gym about, you know, this race or other issues. You know, I'm an open book. Come talk to me. Invite me over wherever we're at or whatever community events you have. I'll be there. Socials. So my website is willrivera4newyork.com. I know people could be like, oh, why for New York? Because I freaking love New York. I'm a devoted, diehard New Yorker. I am proud of it. So Will Rivera for NewYork.com. Facebook, Will Rivera for Oneonta Town Supervisor. Instagram, Will for Oneonta. And if you can't find anything, go to the website, email me, things are on the websites, and happy to give you everything. Also, if you want to chip in $5, support this race, because it is freaking expensive.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Or $1, a volunteer to go knocking on doors or put up a yard sign, hit me up. I appreciate any support, any love, and even sharing on socials. It is free and powerful.
Awesome. Also, on my Instagram page, What's in Your Pocket, for those who follow me, I posted a little blurb this morning announcing this. So I also tagged Will in that, so you can go ahead and find the Insta profile through there and kind of go through. Once again, I want to thank you, Will. Sounds amazing. Good luck in the election.
Appreciate it.
Just me, myself, and I.
We are Wony, and we're here to keep it locked at 90.9 FM.
Every 2 minutes, a woman in the U.S. is diagnosed with breast cancer. And in that split second, her life changes forever. The toll of breast cancer is great. The need to support those who are battling the disease today is even greater. We're fighting alongside patients because we know one moment can change a lifetime. United by hope, we can end breast cancer. Join our fight. Save lives.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Wony Weekly Update. Here are some events to look forward to.